how to make it out the bad guys. We're the big boys wrong, with the rovers and the racers and the fools and the browns, and the ladies in the skin tight wranglers and the cowboy hats. And it don't get no better than that.
The National Finals Rodeo is the culmination for the top contestants in the world who travel to 70 to 100 rodeos each year to qualify to compete in Las Vegas for their share of the $10 million purse and the coveted gold buckle. Every December, Las Vegas transforms into the greatest Western party in the world with the NFR Experience, which features Cowboy Christmas, the Junior World Finals, nonstop entertainment, custom viewing parties, and so much more. With NFR Extra, we're going to take you behind the scenes in a way you've never heard before. Every 2 weeks, you're going to hear personal conversations with the icons and personalities that make up the world's richest and most prestigious rodeo. NFR Extra. All dirt, all rodeo, all year.
This is Nevada Caldwell, Marketing Digital Media Supervisor for Las Vegas Events, and I manage social media for the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo.
Thanks, NV, and this is Bo Gardner. I am the VP of Corporate Marketing with Las Vegas Events. My team oversees Cowboy Christmas, all NFR sponsorships, the Junior World Finals, and other NFRX programming.
NFR Extra Podcast gives fans of the Wrangler NFR a better understanding as to why we call it the NFR Experience.
And who better to help us with this ongoing conversation are the folks that make the Wrangler NFR successful.
Country music artists, stock contractors, rodeo contestants, past world champions, hotel partners, rodeo committees, and everyone else in the rodeo industry.
So join us every episode as we talk all things Wrangler NFR, Cowboy Christmas, and the Junior World Finals.
We look forward to hosting this virtual rodeo adventure, and we hope you do too.
Hello everyone, this is Benji Bendeley, Wrangler National Finals Rodeo Music Director, and this is NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm Caleb Bennett, and this is NFR Extra.
Hi there, I'm Frank Thompson from Cheyenne Frontier Days, and you are listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm World Champion Jet Johnson, and this is NFR Extra.
There's plenty to talk about on our first episode of NFR Extra. Coming right out of the chutes, we have Bo's Bull, where Bo and I catch up with Boyd Paul Hemus, talking about Rodeo Houston and San Antonio, and what's happening in the rodeo universe.
And right after that, we chat with Maria Precage, known affectionately as the Greek Goddess, to share her experience when she conducted unique interviews this past December live at Cowboy Christmas. We will showcase those interviews right here on NFR Extra each and every episode.
And for this episode, Maria sits down with rodeo heavy hitters Bob Tallman, the legendary Bob Tallman. 24-time world champion Trevor Brazil, however, he was the 23rd-time champ in this interview. And Keith Martin from San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo.
And we couldn't call this an NFR podcast without Miss Susan Canode, our NFR insider blogger. Susan has covered the sport of rodeo for more than 30 years, and she is still cranking out rodeo stories like hotcakes. And later in this episode, she shares her new concept, Rodeo Inc. And what is that all about?
I don't know, but I love hotcakes.
This is Bo's Bull, the rodeo news of the week.
There's a lot of rodeos out there to cover with all the great stories happening each and every week. Each episode will bring on friends from the industry to give us the lowdown on the road to the Wrangler NFR.
And today, Boyd Paul Hemus joins us from Rodeo Houston. It is good to be Boyd.
Great to be Boyd.
Yeah, it is. His career has put him behind the microphone at the biggest rodeo events in the world, including 20 times as the announcer for National Finals Rodeo. He was selected 5 additional times as the alternate, putting him on the announcer podium in Las Vegas 26 of the last 27 years. That's a lot. This year, Boyd moves into his new role, and this is a big one, General Manager Production of the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo.
Hey, Boyd, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thanks. Great to be here, guys. How are you?
Well, we're good.
Hey, we're finally seeing some sun.
send it to Texas.
I was there 8 days, Boyd, and I never saw the sun.
It's been that way. It's been that kind of year, Bo. I'm telling
you. Oh, my.
Yeah, so we're craving a little vitamin D down here, no doubt.
Well, we got plenty of it here.
Boy, we want to run right into this, and we know it's a long road to the 2019 Wrangler National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas, but San Antonio Rodeo just finished on February 24th, and Rodeo Houston will run their final rounds this weekend, which right. you've been announcing for many years. So right. here's our question to Boyd Pohemus. How would you summarize the competition so far, how it looks, how do... Does the addition of the Rodeo Houston and the American as PRCA-sanctioned rodeo, how does this impact the world standing so early in the season?
Well, I think what it does, Bo, is it's going to weaken some of the wins that you make later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
So all this new money that is counting as points, whether it's Houston now sanctioned again or the American sanctioned for the first time, you know, you're still going to win $15,000 at Cheyenne and $10,000 at Salinas.
Still great money, right.
Still great money, but how big of an impact will it have on the top 15 standings? Now, mm-hmm. if you're a guy that's outside the top 20, I'm sure winning $15,000 at Cheyenne is going to help you move closer to the top 15. But if you're a lot of these positions, I think, will be decided by the end of March, because San Antonio, the average win there was somewhere between 25 and 30,000.
Yeah.
So that all counted. Houston's wins will be over 50. It'll be somewhere between 50 and 60,000. And that counts. I think they counted half of what they won, or up to 50,000 of their
American
wins.
Yes, sir. You're correct. Yeah.
So what that does, you know, let's say if it's a Ryder Wright who won the American and then he turns around and he wins Houston, well, we're just going to. Ryder's going to go in with a huge lead,
mm-hmm.
but let's say Ryder, you know, Wade Sundell won San Antonio. Okay.
Yeah.
Ryder won the American. Let's say Jacobs Crawley wins Houston, and basically five of the top 15 spots are going to be consumed by people who won all this early money. Mm-hmm. Now they won't have to rodeo as hard in the summer, but as far as, you know, jumping from, fifth to first by winning Cheyenne, that's not happening anymore.
Right. So jumping. Will they rodeo hard?
Well, they're going to go to the Cheyennes sure. and the Salinas, as
sure.
you bet, because okay. you know, you got to stay active in order to remain on cutting edge.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
But will they go to four rodeos in a week?
No.
Probably not.
Yeah.
They're going to pick and choose where they go and make sure they're going to get on a horse they want to get on or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I guess going back to even in Trevor's case, although he hasn't dominated any of these, but Trevor's only going to go to 20 rodeos. You know, if he were to really do well at the American, at Houston, and he's got a chance here, he could win the 50 here.
Ooh.
But the timed event, I believe, are sanctioned this year as well. So if he were to do well at those events, maybe 20 rodeos could get him to the NFR.
Sure, sure.
Man. So it's like running a marathon almost. Like, you just got to pace yourself in a proper way so you get to December in one piece, it sounds like.
Well, it's always been a marathon and not a sprint. It's always been that way. The only difference is the first leg of this marathon is going to have a much louder voice as to who it helps get to the NFR.
You know that? Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for that, Boyd.
Yes.
This actually, we're going to jump into this next question and looking for a little bit of insight or just how you see this, and kind of, and there's some facts that probably can be put to this as well. So the stock show and Rodeo Houston are big rodeos starting the year for PRCA season. What makes them unique comparatively to each other and then the rest of the rodeos on the circuit? Where they stand, you know, the money that's paid, the how the scoring's done. I know there's uniqueness within Rodeo Houston compared to others.
They have to be the two longest rodeos on schedule.
Well, Denver's, you know, more performances.
Yep.
Denver's.
You're
26.
Right. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Correct.
Wow, yeah. But here's the thing. Two things about San Antonio and Houston, where they are very similar. Number one is their style of competition, the format that they've designed for the contestants to compete in. I don't know exactly what they call it in San Antonio, but it's called a Super Series format here.
Yep.
Where basically, you know, you win money and points in your series or your little mini rodeo, and then you move on to a semifinal and on to a final. So it's very similar in the format for the contestants, okay? Mm-hmm. The stock is very similar. The stock that they're bucking at San Antonio is going to be the same stuff they're bucking here at Houston. You know, and so they've got a lot of stock contractors from a lot of different, all the way from Calgary, you know, down here supplying livestock. So, and then the difference, though, you know, obviously San Antonio is puts a lot of people inside that building. What's it seat? 18,000, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but Houston's going to put 70,000 in. And the arena is a lot bigger in Houston, so the score is longer for the time event Cowboys. The area is bigger for the horse. Now, you know, you turn a horse out inside the Thomas and Mack, and it can see all the walls, right? Mm-hmm. It knows where all the walls are, and it can see them. But in Houston, you're turning them out into a big old pasture, you know? And so sometimes they'll take advantage of that and buck differently than they do in Houston.
Yep.
They're both livestock shows, obviously. They both give scholarships away, you know, to youth and agriculture and what have you. So they're too big. I mean, they're two big sticks in the rodeo game happening early. Now, Houston, I think it was 2008 or 2009, so it's been almost 10 years since Houston's been sanctioned, but they're sanctioned again now, and so now they'll have the impact on the NFR race that they haven't had in the past. But Wow. They're just they're very unique events, you know. And then you take it, but they also have the stars and the concerts at the end, right?
Yes, sir.
So that's also a draw to the patron. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a Denver, you know, they're only going to seat 8,000 people, but they'll sell out close to 26 shows, and the only reason people are coming to that show is to watch a rodeo.
Yep.
Same with San Angelo. San Angelo's, sells out all of their 12 shows with no music star to speak. It's just pure rodeo. Mm-hmm. And so, from that standpoint, those rodeos do pretty well in those large metropolitan areas without having a concert draw.
Okay.
But if you're Houston, you got 75,000 seats. You got to fill them somehow.
Totally understand
right,
that.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Right.
Boyd, I want to thank you for your insight on Bo's Bowl, and this is our first go at it, and why not have the best and the professionals on it?
No doubt about it. Well, bless you for that. I believe that's the first controversial thing that you said so far.
Oh, I'm sure I'll be full of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I look forward to listening, not so much to this one because I heard it already, right? But I look forward to the other people that you're going to have on and their perspectives on how the rodeo industry is either shrinking, growing, or, you know, rolling toward the NFR. So
we're going to keep it rolling.
Yeah, and growing.
Yes. Excellent. That's my hope.
Thank you very much, boy.
Thank you, sir.
You bet, guys. Appreciate you.
Stay up to date on the world standings for the Road to the NFR at NFRExperience.com.
Hi, I'm Nellie Miller, world champion barrel racer, and this is NFR Extra.
Hi, I'm two-time world champion Tim O'Connell, and this is NFR Extra.
Today on the show, we talk to Maria Precoge. Maria travels extensively producing and hosting a number of programs for networks such as ESPN, CBS Sports, The Velocity Network, The Travel Channel, Home and Garden TV, WGN America, along with Amazon Prime Video, Livestream, and numerous other podcasts and webcasts.
That is an impressive list.
No doubt about it. That's why we're lucky. We were blessed to have Maria conduct interviews during the 2018 Wrangler NFR live at Cowboy Christmas. Maria, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
It's all dirt, all rodeo, all year.
That's right. So real quick, we're going to jump into some things, Maria. You know, you had some time to sit down with a few folks that are on this episode that, you know, come from different angles in this business, and they shared a lot of information with you. You got to sit down with Keith Martin from San Antonio, 24-time world champ Trevor Brazil, and the legendary Bob Tallman.
The Bob Tallman.
Yes. I got to say, I was... very fascinated with listening to a lot of these, just because of where they sit and what they see throughout the year of rodeo, right? Like Tallman sits with a microphone and he chats and he sees the overall picture and he plays to it, right? With the contestants and the crowd and fantastic. It's extremely entertaining. In fact, you can almost like watch it with your eyes closed and have a good fun feel for it. Anyways, then you got Trevor who, you know, has created a whole new bar for rodeo champs and he shares a lot of that. And obviously there's some things that have happened, you know, right before the NFR that touches on a lot of these things and what he decided to do. And obviously,
can you imagine how many times Trevor Brazil has been interviewed?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And well, he, as well, Maria, I mean, after this, I'm sure you can touch on that, but yeah, he's a super professional. I mean, it's, he's great. You know, he's like, kind of like a Greg Maddux, I think, equivalent to baseball.
Or Ryan Growney.
Yes. Super polished interview guy right there. And then obviously you talked to Keith Martin, which, you know, best indoor show for many years. Just things like that actually create a lot of exposure to what you do with the production side, not just the rodeo. So, Maria, like, how do just kind of expand a little bit of these things, how they went, you know, just let's start off with Trevor.
Well, Trevor, as you said, has been interviewed so many times. I've interviewed him, I can't even tell you how many times. And the one thing about Trevor, most winningest cowboy, he just got his 24th gold buckle. He just is humble. And it really, he's such a great representative of the sport because he is humble.
24 gold buckles in how many years? I mean, I think we need to educate everyone that, okay, look, this guy is truly a legend, but Maria, you probably have a better idea of this since you've probably been interviewing him that many years.
I have, and you know, this interview was different though because he announced his, I call it the semi-retirement, mm-hmm. because he's not going full-time on the road anymore. And the emotion that he had, because in a way he doesn't want to quit, because what pro athlete wants to quit their sport when they're still winning? And, you know, but he has his priorities straight and his family, and he's still going to go to some of the bigger rodeos that are invitational and some of those and compete. But he really talked about, and you'll hear it, he touched on, you know, giving that up, and now it's time for family. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's always had his family with him when he traveled most of the time, his wife and kids. But just to hear him talk about it and get emotional, you think, oh, these big, tough cowboys. But they're so emotional about their sport, so emotional about their families. And also talking about, because when I interviewed him, he was only 23-time world champion. And at the end of the interview, we joke, and I say, cross your fingers, because after this, when it airs, let's hope it's 24. And he really, really wanted this 24th gold buckle. He wanted to go out on top. He wanted to be the all-around. And it was close.
Yeah.
But I think that meant almost more than his first one ever.
Yeah, his performance showed. So speaking of that, kind of the fun, jovial side of that, talking about Keith Martin, right? Like, when I don't know him very well, but I see him in a million pictures, right? You know, since I handle the social media side for NFR, see a lot of Keith Martin pictures, you know. But my first take is that guy looks really serious.
He is your typical image of a Texas cowboy.
Yes.
He is. He has the serious face, but he has a sense of humor. And when I talked to him, he talked a lot about reflecting on his career with, you know, the PRCA, and then of course he was with San Antonio's the CEO for a very long time. And he, again, it's bittersweet when you retire. He's only semi-retiring. He's mm-hmm. slowing down but not stopping. The man has a lot of energy. He has a passion for rodeo. He loves the sport. We'll talk a little bit, I don't want to give it away, about his next step in life, where he's going in his semi-retirement, because he's still going to be involved in a great cause and mm-hmm. in the rodeo industry. But to run a big rodeo like San Antonio, I mean, it takes a lot. And you
it
know,
takes a lot, and it takes a lot out of you.
Yep.
It does. It does. And, you know, when I talk to these folks, they explain why now is the time to do mm-hmm. their moving into retirement. Keith's a little older than Trevor. Don't tell him I said that.
Slightly.
But he is.
Yeah. Yep.
You can never tell by looking at him.
Yeah, if I put them next to each other, I couldn't figure that out.
But, you know, he is serious about the sport. He's brought the sport to a new level in many ways. But he is a great, just all-around guy, and he'll tell a few jokes. And when he laughs, it's a good, hearty laugh. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was a good joke, or it was funny, or he said something funny. So it's interesting to see, like you both said, a different side of rodeo, not the contestant. This is a man that's put on rodeos, been involved with the PRCA overall. And, you know, the production's a totally different side than getting your horse or getting on a horse.
It's he represents different. The business in rodeo.
Yeah.
He does. He does. Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of business, a guy that, you know, we love, I'm a big fan, and this interview is very organic, right? Like, whenever you get to sit down with a guy that his whole gig is his voice, that's always going to be a good interview.
I know you're not talking about me.
No, no. We could be talking about quite a few guys, right? But Mr. Tallman is, this interview that you had with him was, he shared some cool, interesting stuff, his approach, even voiced up a few times. Like, how was it talking to him? I know you know him, but how was it talking to him from that side of kind of like getting some stuff out of Bob?
Well, it was fun because I know a lot of the announcers. I work with Bob and Boyd a lot, and outside of the NFR. And Bob, it was one wild ride. Afterwards, we just looked at him and hugged him. And, you know, I asked him questions. And if he was sitting next to me, I'd say the same thing. I'm like, Bob, did you answer that question? But he goes off on the best tangents in a very fun,
compelling,
respectable way.
Yeah.
And the stuff doesn't even matter.
No, who cares?
No.
It's like somebody that has a great voice. You don't care what genre of music there's.
Totally.
Yeah. No, and I was only there to facilitate and ask a few questions, because with Bob, you can just give him the microphone and he'll talk and tell stories on 10 subjects without you even asking two questions, which is part of his charm and part of who he is. And he is a legend.
Yeah, just no doubt about it. Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Maria, for joining us here on the first episode of NFR Extra, and definitely look forward to many more conversations with you, and looking forward to all the interviews you were so fortunate to conduct for us.
We love you.
Right back at you. Thank you.
All right.
Follow the NFR Extra podcast by visiting nfrexperience.com or at popular podcast channels like Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at nfrextra.vegas.
You're listening to NFR Extra Podcast. All dirt, all rodeo, all year. Up next, Maria talking to Bob Tallman, recorded live at Cowboy Christmas, December 15th, 2018. In 1976, Bob, for the first time, broadcasted at the NFR. His career has blossomed from there. Bob has announced the NFR 23 times, 9 of them consecutively, more than any other announcer, even Boyd Paul Hemus. And was voted the PRCA Announcer of the Year 9 times. Man, that's a lot.
Hi, I'm Maria Precogies, and welcome to NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year. I am so excited to have my dear friend and legendary rodeo announcer, Mr. Bobby Tallman, in the house.
Thank you, baby.
How are you?
You know, actually, don't judge me by what you see after 17 days in Las Vegas. I'm blessed. I'm beyond. I'm over it. I'm into it. I'm just pretty excited about being here after all these years doing what we're doing. And you think about what you and I've done, what our producer and I have done in 4 decades. And it's an honor to be a part of this program.
It really is. So I'm going to take you back. I read a quote, I don't know if it's true or not, that when you were young, you liked the rodeo, and everyone's like, you know, to be a world champion, to really succeed, you have to work at it every day and do this and that. And you said, well, that doesn't sound fun. I'll just go talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to be Jim Shoulders, and Larry Mahan and Tom Ferguson and Dee Pickett and Ty Murray and Joe Beaver and Trevor Brazil. I wanted to be all those things, but it was more than dedication, okay? You see, in the rodeo business today, winning money is the end result. Winning life and being able to deal with it, and family, and outside entrepreneurial opportunities, and putting it all together here we go. Well, that means that you've got to have 25 hours a day, 53 weeks a year, and that you have to apply yourself. Oh, what about family? What about children? Now what about grandchildren? In the 40 years that I've been tied to and or, it's the Denvers, the Fort Worths, the Houstons, it's the San Angelos, it's the Renos, it's the Calgarys, it's the Red Bluffs, it's all of those things. And if you have a problem with travel, see ya, because you don't belong. You either become a real good travel agent yourself, or have I've had five. I'm on number six. I've wore out travel agents. And you know my books that I keep, my laptop, David Glock always said, you've got to get with the system. I said, David, I can hire that done. Here we go. It's a planning procedure to know what time you go to bed. When I lay down at night, I count backwards. Okay, if it's 10 o'clock, if it's midnight, last night it was 1:15 in the morning. So I'm going 2:15, 3:15, 4:15, 5:15. Whoops, it's gonna be a 4.5 hour night. So you sleep different. You get up in the morning and meet you for breakfast. You get up in the morning and you've got chores to take care of. Got a couple of hundred cows over here, got grandkids getting on planes over here. All of these things, and then, oh, we got to go to the rodeo. Now pay attention. So I have a big laptop size database information center in my iPad, and every week we put new information in it. Cowboys, cowgirls, families, bucking horses, bulls, calves, steers, runs. And then we show up at Fort Worth in a few days. I'm going to Billings in a few days, then at Fort Worth, then Angelo with Boyd, then to Houston, then Kissimmee. None of this would have happened without everybody that surrounds me. I am not the key to making this a success. It's the people around me.
Well, that's been the theme during all these interviews. But when did you actually start announcing your first rodeo?
1969.
And where was it?
Winnemucca, Nevada.
And that's where you grew up. So yeah. Did someone just say, Bob, let's go do this?
Well, I was riding bucking horses, trying to, roping calves and team roping in what they call the amateurs. It was the Nevada Cowboys Association. Kristen and I get married 49 years ago. And how close do you get to 50? Here's the deal. I could always win third, fourth, or fifth. It was hard to win second, and rarely did I win first. But I was a cowboy, born and raised a cowboy in the sagebrush in northern Nevada. But I loved to tell stories. Now, as a little guy, I wasn't a great big tough, you know, oakberry kind of built guy. And I found out that people liked stories about who was going to ride, who was going to run and rope, ladies in a barrel race, and about the event. So I just went to telling stories. They paid me money to do this.
Well, they did. I love it. And you announced the NFR for many, many years. What was it like announcing the Super Bowl of rodeos?
Well, this goes back to 1972, where I had my first job there. And being there is as important or more important than the job that you were hired to do, set out to do, or accomplish. And it was in Oklahoma City then, and I can remember driving from California, Kristen and I, and we went there, and I stepped into the box way too early in life with a guy named Jay Harwood, dear friend, rest his soul. And away it went. Well, I don't know if it was politically or it was by talent. And then I went again, and then I went again, and then I went again. Then we moved to Las Vegas, and I went again and went again. Into my life came people like Boyd Polhamus and gave me an extra step up and an extra jump. Into my life came a Wayne Brooks, a Roger Mooney, a Randy Corley, a Hadley Barrett, a Bob Feist. These are all the people that I've been surrounded by, attached to, and would, you know, die for today as they, I hope, would for me. The deal is the NFR, National Finals Rodeo, now Wrangler National Finals Rodeo. What will it become in the years to come? My involvement today might be more strenuous than when I announced the rodeo. But I've got all the awards I need. I've got all the trophies and bronzes, got all the buckles, got all the jackets. But what I got out of that was the strength to know that I had a purpose. And my purpose was somewhat appreciated. And I took that purpose and went on, start at Denver, then to Fort Worth, then to Houston, then on throughout the year, then again, loop back and do it again. So the NFR is the most exciting thing. I have, and other people have labeled it as the Super Bowl of rodeo. It's bigger than that.
It really is. And you were there in Oklahoma City, and then in Vegas, where Sean Davis, the retiring general manager, he was the deciding factor, the deciding vote. Tell me the difference in how great it is now that it's in Vegas, because people were skeptical.
Let me step back into the Oklahoma City thing. Oklahoma City, I don't really think they had an appreciation for the value that we were from an economic impact on that community and or on the whole state of Oklahoma. And we were told that it was, you know, like $140 million economic impact. Well, I was in those rooms, in those meetings, to see the negotiation come and go. And Benny Binion out here in Las Vegas, who was an old dear friend of my grandfather's back in the day, when you do those kind of things and you make a major move, nobody had a clue what it was going to turn into. Sean Davis did. Sean Davis knew, as the deciding vote, that he wasn't paid or prompted to move it. He was looking out for the future. As a world champion bronc rider, as a great racehorseman, as a good businessman from the entrepreneurial side, Sean says we need to go to Vegas. From the minute we hit here, all it did was go up. Now it's gone up and over, and today, the other day I watched him hand that check out, $14 million for the entire rodeo production, $10 million in prize money. Look at what they're doing at the South Point with $15 million team roping. Look what they've done in this trade show. Two floors, not one. Look at where the people come from 27 states. And today, that's a new gig for me. It's important, but we still have to live the life of rodeo and be proud of who we are, where we came from, and where we're going.
It's a great lifestyle. So let's talk about not just announcing, but you do have a new gig. We're going to get to that. Announcing has opened up doors, but you're also a huge entrepreneur, so you've made a lot of things happen. TV stuff, spices, now jerky, security. I mean, you have your hand in a million different things.
I have my hand in life. And as you're well aware of it, over the years that we've been friends and have worked together, I never ever thought that if I didn't, when I was a kid, I worked in a gas station, I worked in a parts store, then I was a brakeman on the Western Pacific Railroad. I drove truck at the same time for the Southern Pacific Railroad delivering freight, worked for my dad in the lumber yard. I've never had less than two jobs or two things going since I got a Social Security card when I was 11 years old. And in between all of that, I played Little League Baseball. Tried high school football 3 days. 105 pounds, 5'1", did not work for me. All my friends beat me up. So as it went on, I knew I could rope a calf, ride a bucking horse, and if I made a mistake, I didn't have to run 30 laps in them great big clobby shoes with spikes on them. That's why I didn't work in team sports well. But I played other sports and did some of that. I found out that the rodeo business gave me multiple door openings to the world. And because of the notoriety that I started to acclaim at a very young age, and a wife who gave up everything in order to support me, and away we went, slept in campers. I'm talking about a shell camper, okay, on a piece of 3/4-inch plywood and a foam mattress, to a 16-foot aristocrat trailer, to a house horse trailer, to now motor homes and so forth. you've got to have a support system in you, around you, behind you to push, and one awaiting you upon your arrival. So we're in the ranching business. We're very blessed to have some nice property, blessed to have a lot of cows. And with the new venture of BobbyT'sJerky.com, here's how it comes. Over the years, I'm a fifth generation cow-calf agriculturalist. And I've always said if I ever made $10 million, I'd spend nine of it being a farmer and a rancher till I had $1 million left to maintain being a millionaire. It's not the money. I love cows. We raise cattle, Black Angus cattle. We do an embryo program, reproductive physiology. It's been a part of my life. Because of the rodeo at Houston, I got involved with Granada Corporation, learned about artificial insemination and embryo transfer because of the rodeo at Houston, then back into Fort Worth. How all of this comes about, we sell beef standing, sell it hanging, sell it in boxes. Now BobbyT'sJerky.com sells it in packages. 1 ounce, 3 ounce.
Well, it's all stems from your rodeo announcing.
Everything.
And you have some of the best lines and sayings in the world. How did it all come about, and how do you come up with those? Or are they just straight off the top of your head?
Oh, it's off the top of my head, and a guy named David Glott started recording them. My dear friend.
That's our executive producer here at NFR Exit, just so y'all know.
I knew I had to be different, so I had long hair, had a ponytail, had an earring, pants tucked in my boots. And what it did is, it's that little extra bump you get from drawing attention, but then I had to put the mustard on that hot dog and serve it and expect them to like it. And because of, I'm gonna say, Fort Worth and Houston in the winter, Reno in the summer, Calgary, and CBC Sports that I've been a part of for 40 years, they gave me that jump out there because of television. Then radio and the Great American Cowboy and the American Farmer. And one time I shook hands with Paul Harvey, and he says to me, you know, you're second to only me for number of radio stations in America. And I didn't know what to say. I wanted to say, and that's the rest of the story. But, oh my God. The only thing I've missed is being home a lot. Kristen raised Nicole. Now I have twin grandkids about to turn 11 years old, and we're all involved in that same loop again and again. And I'm going to give the credit to Jesus Christ, who has held it all together. When my final commitment came to dedicate my life to the Lord, it just exploded. And so I can put it all. You're included on the list of people and places and things that have helped me become who I am. I'm a fan, Maria. I'm a fan of rodeo. I'm a fan of what we're doing here today. I'm a fan of the Western lifestyle. And as long as I can be good for it, you're gonna see me on this television camera. You're gonna hear me on the radio. You're gonna see me in the entrepreneurial spirit out amongst our Western people. So that's not a threat, honey. That's a fact.
Well, I love it. In Idaho, where I live, I'll wake up and there you are on the radio. I'm like, wait, it's Bob Tolman. Sometimes it's a little too early for that, but really it's never too early for you. All right, you're in the Hall of Fame. You're a legendary rodeo announcer. Everyone knows your voice. Give me a little. There's, you know, Casey Field on a bucking horse. Give me a few little of
well,
your
Well, if you
tidbits.
Got Casey Field on a bucking horse, he's four-time the champion of the world. But you know, folks, it's bigger than that with his family today here to watch him. He's the son of a Hall of Famer and a man that I traveled with, shared hotel rooms with, ate breakfast with, when neither of us really had a pot to pee in. And you have to think what Louis Field has raised this boy to be. But Louis knew what he was doing with all of his kids. Today, Casey Field rides a bucking horse like a machine. When they're jumping and kicking, David Glott used to always say, you got a southbound horse with a man going north to get the money on the east side of this arena. By golly, the higher they jump and the better they buck, the better you ride. somebody's gonna like it. And that was an 88-point ride.
That's why we love. I just got the chills, kid you not. My favorite, though, is Holy Hoppin' Hamburger.
That came from the days of Bodacious. Another part of the world that Sammy Andrews trusted me with that big yellow bull, and he was a killer. My wife, Kristen, was the only one in the pen that could talk him out of wanting to hurt somebody. And it was in Houston. We wiped out two cameramen over the fence, and away they went. Oh, my God.
Give us a Bodacious call.
2,000 pounds of humpback, loose-skinned Bellerin beast, and the yellow whale whams another one.
And you just whammed another one right here with me. I love you. Thank you so much for being with me. Oh, kisses on the hands. I love it. And of course, Bodacious is on the mantle in back of us, just for you.
My goodness. You know, when we started this marketing program, Sammy said, just run with it. We went to the Old South Pancake House one night after the rodeo, he and I and Carolyn, sat down and wrote out a contract, which I've written a lot of on a bar tab or on a napkin. And we figured it out. Montana Silversmith figured that out. And away we went. It was buckles and charms and bracelets and earrings and t-shirts and caps and jackets.
And video, of course.
Oh, my God.
Can't forget our end of this.
I hope you all aren't tired of this because I'm not going away. And as long as she's around, I just want to sit next to her.
Oh, well, I love sitting next to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Legendary rodeo announcer. And if you've never heard him, what is your problem? And now you know why he's legendary. Mr. Bob Tallman. Love you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks again for being with us on NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year.
Hi, I'm 8-time world champion bull rider Donnie Gay, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Hi, I am Benny Butler, and you're listening to NFR Extra.
Make sure to download NFR Rewind and get caught up on what you missed at the 2018 Wrangler NFR, or reminisce the great time you had if you were there. Download now at NFRExperience.com.
We are happy to have on our show today Miss Susan Canode, our NFR Insider blogger. Her first NFR that she covered was in Las Vegas in 1985, which was the first year it moved from Oklahoma City. She's been involved with the NFR since 1996. Well, except for 2010 and the year she was bucked off a horse where she had suffered a concussion.
Ouch.
Miss Susan, welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody. It's great. Just enjoying a few days at home before I head off to the next rodeo.
Nice. Well, as we know, we preluded to you are our NFR insider, and a couple things we just want to get right to the point. Can you share with us your passion for the NFR and what you get to do with it and just everything that you love about the NFR?
Well, there's nothing that I don't love about the NFR except maybe the fact that I'd rather be there as a spectator sometimes, but I love being involved with. It is absolutely the most exciting event that I work at all year round. It is, there's the electricity there is unlike any other place, and the surrounding events, there's something for everybody to do. People say they won't go because they can't get a ticket, but there's plenty of ways to watch it, and there's all kinds of fun to be had.
Nice. Bo, I mean, like, you've worked with Susan before, and you know Susan. Susan's worked on some pretty interesting stories for us in the past and things that, you know, nobody could see coming. For instance, I could go back to that, the Caleb Schmidt story that was pretty powerful. I'm pretty sure there was plenty of tears from that.
Yeah.
And then going forward, you're working on a very interesting one I love, and I think it crosses many, many, many generations. It crosses many lifestyles. But it brings it back to what we all love, and that's good stories. Can you tell us a little bit about Rodeo Inc. and just a story in particular that you're maybe working on or have in the back pocket for you?
Susan, we shared your story with Pat Christensen, and he said you got to bring that back up to her.
Oh, it's because it's relevant.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
I told somebody the other day, I said, first and foremost, I am a rodeo fan. I love the sport. I grew up on a ranch in Northeast Colorado. I got involved because I wanted to use my degree, which is a journalism degree, and use that to proactively promote the Western lifestyle in some shape. And rodeo is where I've landed. And I'm a fan of every single event in rodeo. And so when I go to rodeo, I work with a lot of rodeo committees. When I go, I try to look at it from a fan's perspective, not a rodeo insider. And if I look at it from a fan's perspective, I'm able to find stories that are relevant to people who are either are both seasoned fans and maybe people who've never been to a rodeo before. So I've been kind of snooping around for about 3 years, and I've noticed a few rodeo contestants who have some tattoos. So I started talking to them about their tattoos and got this idea to do a story about rodeo contestants who have tattoos and call it Rodeo Inc. And when I approached it with Michael, he said, why don't you do a series? So now I have a whole group of cowboys that we're going to talk to about their tattoos. And I love it because tattoos are, there's something that are becoming more and more popular, and it's very commonplace to have tattoos in our society now. And it makes cowboys relevant to those people.
Wow. No, we can't disagree. I mean, I would say just a few tattoos you said, I've seen plenty. Across the board, I've seen them. Obviously, bull riders and folks with their sleeves rolled up, you'll see a hint of something. But obviously, there's a lot more going on under those shirts and those vests protecting or whatever it is they're wearing.
Yeah, like, you know, our first in this series is going to be Chase Brooks. And he has some beautiful artwork, and we've got great photos to go with it. And I'm just excited to tell for everybody to get to see the story of how this kind of came about and get to know Chase a little bit too, because, you know, he talks about how growing up on a ranch and how ranchy his dad is and how this whole thing has come about and where it fits in with his lifestyle. And it's just pretty interesting.
By the way, I just want to share with our fans and everyone that's listening, this will be available obviously on the NFR Insider blog, as well as you can find that at NFRExperience.com. So we'll be sharing all this stuff as we go. So stay tuned, and we'll be giving you a lot more from what Susan's talking about.
Susan, you mentioned artwork versus tattoo. What's preferred?
You know, it varies from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
And Chase has some on, like, and you'll see in the photos, he has some artwork and some things on his arms that are just, it's beautiful artwork. And then his very first tattoo is a bucking horse that he drew. Oh. And I said, would you consider doing that again? He said, no, never. He said, it was fun and it's cool. And I look at it and I remember that. But he said, now I've seen what other people can do, and he's like, there's no way I would ever draw something out. He said, I might have an idea, but I'm not going to draw anything out again.
Wow. Well, you know, I thank you for joining us here, Susan. I know this is real quick, but we'll be bringing you back on to talk more about this. We appreciate your time. I want to thank you for chatting with Bo and I.
Stay warm on the road, Susan.
Yeah, definitely. Please get some weird weather out there in the Midwest, West, East Coast, all across the United States. So,
across the United States, yeah. For sure.
Well, we look forward to talking to you again. Enjoy your day, and thanks.
You bet.
Follow Susan Canode along with our team of NFR bloggers at nfrexperience.com. You're listening to NFR Extra Podcast. All dirt, all rodeo, all year. Up next, Maria talking to Trevor Brazil, recorded live at Cowboy Christmas, December 13th, 2018. This interview took place a few days after he retired from pro rodeo, and just days before he captured his 24th world title. Man, that's a lot, Bo. at the 2018 Wrangler National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas.
Wow.
The GOAT.
Hi, I'm Maria Precogese, and welcome to NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year. I am with the king of the cowboys himself, 23-time world champion Trevor Brazil. Do you ever get tired of hearing the double digits in your world championships?
No, I was happy just to hear one. Everything else has been a bonus.
Tell me about the first one. Let's go there.
Oh, man. It's probably the most memorable for me. I was out here in one event that year in the tight end roping, and Jesse Bale was in the bronc riding and the bull riding. And so I was the underdog, as I had been in the few years prior, but actually getting it pulled off in the 10th round, having to win second or better to guarantee it, was one of the defining moments in my career for sure. And it just always sticks out for me.
I think the fans always like to see it come down to the 10th round, but how nerve-wracking is that?
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it, because it's going to go one of two ways, and there's no okay way for it to go. It's either really good or really bad, you know. And so, but it is. It's good for the sport, but it's a lot on a competitor.
You're still so young, and to have 23 gold buckles. When you were little, I mean, tell me, when you actually thought, I want to be a world champion and I want to, you know, follow in the family's footsteps of being a cowboy?
Everybody talks about setting goals, and I believe you should, but I just didn't believe it was realistic at the time. I just wanted to grow up and learn this trade, and the more I did it, the more I just loved what I did. I was on grade horses doing what I love to do, and just the fact that I could make a living at it, possibly, was gonna be, that would have been the pinnacle for me. Is just tell me that I can do this and not have to get a real job. Basically like any other cowboy in America, but I really didn't have lofty goals like world championships at that time. I wanted to compete. I had so much respect for the guys that were out doing it. I didn't know if I could ever be what they were, but I was gonna aspire to be as good as I could be and hopefully make a living doing this.
Who were some of those people that you looked up to?
Oh, gosh. Roy Cooper, Joe Beavers, Fred Whitfield in the tie down. And then you got Sean Bruchette, who was killed in a car wreck. He would actually let me come stay with him in the summer. He was a world champion steer roper. T. Woman would come by, Bobby Harris, Speed and Rich. I mean, you name it, I was able to watch some of the greatest of all times, Jake and Clay. I did so many events, so I had so many influencers.
That's very true. How do you manage so many events?
I started at a young enough age that I've never known anything different. I think it would have been a lot more challenging had I spent all my time on one event for my whole career and then added something, but it's all I've ever known. And when it almost feels weird when I'm not doing everything, you know, like in years like this year when I'm only out here in the tie down roping and I'm not having to run back and forth and keep up with everything in two events, it almost feels a little bit weird in that aspect.
You were always going. You were always on the go, and we love that. So 23 world titles, 52 NFR qualifications. The numbers that you have achieved and accomplished are insane.
Like I say, it still sounds weird, you know, saying it, because I remember when T. Woman had the NFR qualifications record, and I just thought, you know, wow, because I'd watched his career, and he was at the top for so long, and to kind of, everything seems surreal. Guy Allen's world championships, you know, when I surpassed that, Ty Murray, they said nothing, that would never be topped, and they're still my heroes. That's what's the weird thing about it is, they say King of the Cowboys, they say all this stuff, but I still have the same heroes I had when I started, you know.
Well, and you are a hero to so many. What do you tell the up-and-comers? I mean, I don't know if your record will ever be broke at this point. I mean, it's a pretty big one, but what do you tell the up-and-comers, the young kids, when they're like, oh, Trevor, and you're giving them an autograph, and they want to be like you?
It's just the nature of the beast. Everybody says every record will never be broken. You know, it's just, it's just one of those things that as soon as somebody sets their mind to it, and but it's going to take dedication, it's going to take discipline. I mean, just like reaching anything, reaching one world championship, it takes all those things, and then to repeat, it takes not getting caught up in yourself, not getting caught up in the everything that comes along with the pageantry of being a world champion. You have to get right back to the grindstone and do it 24 times.
Well, and I know from interviewing you and knowing you for so many years, you probably practiced in your career probably more than anyone. And how did you balance all that out?
It never felt like work, though. That was my passion. I loved it. I got to do it on horses. You know, the difference between me and the rough stock guys is it doesn't hurt me to practice. You know, I watch the rough stock, and Bobby Moten said it best, even when you do it right, it's gonna hurt. And so you have to get your mind right, knowing that going into it. But me entering into semi-retirement, I see me practicing a lot anyway, because I love what I do. If I have time to practice and it doesn't interfere with anything else in our schedule, I'm gonna be on a great horse. I'm gonna be practicing. I just love what I do.
So let's talk about that semi-retirement. Semi?
Yes. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. I didn't want to come out and just say I'm retiring from rodeo and then people see me at events like Houston, San Antonio, the American. I love those big stages. And so basically, I figure I'm going to cut my schedule down by at least 70-75%. So I will be seen at some of the bigger events, but I bet that's about it. I'll go to some steer ropings, and we'll just see how it goes from there. I wish I could say this is exactly what I'm going to do for 4 years, but this may, you know, be my fix, you know, for what rodeo's represented in my life for so long. But I won't know till I try it, and we'll just see how it goes.
Well, like I said, you don't sit a lot. How'd the decision come to be? I mean, you have wife and three kids. Mm-hmm. What did you guys talk about this timing?
2007 was the first time that I talked about it. I said when Tristan, which is my oldest, was in school, when he enrolls in school, I'm done. And then that came around when he was six, and Shada, which is for several reasons, not just for what we did, wanted to homeschool. And she homeschooled Tristan, and I thought, well, this will last a year. I'm gonna get one more year of rodeo on, and because I can't imagine, you know, going up there. You know how that dynamic is of getting your kids to work at school, and then she's amazing to do all the stuff she does, but that for sure. But she said that homeschooling, teaching her kids how to read, was the most rewarding thing that she's done. And so that bought another 5 years. So, I mean, this has been a long time coming, but actually this year is the first year that they both enrolled in school, and that's never changed since 07. That's the trigger point that I've been waiting on. It had nothing to do with in the arena or anything like that.
Well, family's important, and the whole rodeo is a family. The NFR is a family. What's it like? I mean, you're probably one of the busiest and the most in demand with 23 gold buckles. What's it like being here in Vegas and just the whole NFR atmosphere?
Well, it's different this year because of the announcement, and I've tried not to take any piece of this for granted, whether I'm in an autograph line or in the box or going down the moat. I just want to remember this because I'm going at it like it's the last time I'll ever be here. And just my main theme this week is don't take anything for granted, not one piece of it.
That's awesome. Third of your winnings, we call you the $6 million man. We're going to date ourselves for those of you who have seen that show. A third, though, of your winnings have been here at the NFR. That's a lot of money.
It is. It's crazy to think, you know, over that long, but I've won almost $2 million in that building, 70 go-arounds. It's just, there's so much history there. I'll never be able to go there, you know, and not have such an affection just for that building. It'll be a sad day when it moves for me, because I've done a lot of stuff down there in that dirt, and even as a spectator, when I come back, it'll be special.
What do you think of? Let's get into the sports aspect of it. What do you think of when you back in the box before you nod your head? Do you clear it all out, or what's going on?
You know, I think from a sports aspect, you can only think about one or two things, and I try to think of a few key things that always start my run right, whether it be what I'm going to see and where I want my first swing, and then habit takes over from there. Just, it's got to be muscle memory. There's a benefit to all the practice and everything that we talked about in the earlier, is that muscle memory comes back. My preparation is where I get my confidence from, and so as long as I start my run right, get that ball rolling, then everything else, just, that's all I think about.
Well, and you can't have a perfect run every night.
Obviously.
This year especially, a lot of people have been carrying two ropes.
I know.
I've seen a lot of them. How do you bounce back from that the next day?
You know, you go to 100 different rodeos a year, but here it's 10 one-headers, and so the longer you dwell on something like that, the more it has a chance to affect you the next night. But to me, it's just like every day without rain, you're closer to rain. And so if I miss one, it's actually a better chance I'm not going to miss the next one.
I love it. Let's talk the future of rodeo. You're in the semi-retirement. Where would you like to see it go, and how is that going to happen, and what's your role going to be?
You know, everything is unknown to me about my role moving forward. I love this sport, and I just hope to see it just get better and better, because, you know, you've got out here in Vegas all the ancillary events, the junior NFRs, the World Series of Team Roping. Our industry is bigger than you think, and if we just get together and going in the same direction, there's no telling what we can do.
You said you don't know quite your role, but do you ever see yourself being out of the Western way of life in the rodeo world?
No, I've invested too much into this, and whether it's not helping me, I've been developing Relentless products since 08, and that's a passion of mine, of me and my partners, of making cowboys better athletes, whether it's ropes, whether it's clothing, whether any kind of products that we can help make riders better athletes. I'm really involved in the process of all the product development, and that's going to be a fun challenge from here on out too.
Talk a little bit more about the Relentless brand and how you came up with it.
Actually, a good friend of mine and one of the founders, Dennis Carroll, helped come up with all of that, because he had the Pro Equine Companies, and he had so many different entities. We talked about having the Trevor Brazil collection, and because I saw a lot of products that, with a little bit of help, could be better products. And we just came up, or he actually threw that name out there, and we liked it, and it's just grown from there. We've had different licensees, and it's been fun. It really has, from ropes to tack to clothing to you name it. Everything that I'm passionate about that I think could be improved is in the line.
So you've tested some of the products. You've, I'm assuming, helped design some of it, because you said, I see these products, I'm like, oh, it can be better.
Yeah.
And you use them. How fun is that to see it go from A to Z?
It really is, and that's why the autograph lines are more fun to me than they ever were, is because not only do we talk about stuff that happens in the arena, they're like, man, I tried your products, I love them. You know, that's as rewarding as anything, whether it be boots or ropes. You know, you never know, but everybody's got a story.
So it's Trevor Brazil coming up through the ranks, and it's Trevor Brazil now, semi-retirement, lovely wife, three beautiful children. I mean, what more do you want? What more are you looking for in life? You kind of have a good package going.
Yeah,
right.
I'm,
now, it's with tied with a big red bow.
I hate to say, because I've always sold myself short, because every year I've had more than I deserve or ever wanted. I've been blessed my whole career, and I just I'm excited to see what the future holds. I've had so many people that have helped me get to where I am today, and that being all my family, from my mom and dad to my grandparents to Shada, and now the kids and the sacrifices that they've made, you know, I want to be able to repay, because they now they have their own dreams and goals, and I just want to be able to help them reach theirs as they did me.
Win, lose, or draw, especially here in Vegas, how great is it to see them after the rodeo and just get loved on and hugged on?
It's awesome. And, you know, I had thought that Swayze, my youngest, would, she's three now, and I thought she will never really get to see me compete where she knows, but I was able to rodeo until at least now she'll have some memories of it. So that's a pretty special, because she talks about, like, I tulip'd one last night, and she told me, man, Daddy, you did awesome. Good job. She wanted to go, we took her to the buckle ceremony, and that's what she told me, I did awesome, even though I missed with my first loop and caught with my second loop. She wanted to go back to the buckle store.
Do they look at your buckles? I have to ask, are they like displayed at your house? Or, I mean, I know you wear many of them.
Well, a lot of mine are just displayed at NRS at the big superstore there in Decatur. They've got basically all of my world champion buckles and saddles and different saddles I've won over my career. And so they've did such a great job of displaying them for more people could see them, as, you know, if I would have done it at the house. So I really like that. But, like, for instance, I want to go around and we received the buckle, and before we got back to take a picture with the buckle, Tristan had already switched the buckle he was wearing, and so we didn't even take a picture with the real buckle. He already had it on. So yeah, they've enjoyed it.
Any last thoughts while we wrap this up on rodeo, your career, and your blessings?
And it's just been a great ride. I'm just so thankful, not only for my career, but the way the fans have supported me. That'll be the thing that I've talked about, that I knew buckles, I knew money, I knew all these things came with hard work, but the admiration and respect of the fans, that would have made me work even harder than I had, because it's probably worth more than the buckles and money ever could have been.
I love it. Well, thank you. I know you're swamped these 10 days, and best of luck enjoying the rest of the NFR experience here. I'm happy and very blessed to call him my friend, 23-time world champion as of 2018 December, by the way. Trevor Brazil, right here on NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, I'm Sherry Servey, and you are listening to NFR Extra.
You're listening to NFR Extra Podcast.
All dirt, all rodeo, all year.
And up next, Maria talking with Keith Martin, recorded live at Cowboy Christmas on December 7th, 2018. Keith started with the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo as a volunteer in 1969. He then joined the executive committee in 1984 and became the president in 1989, igniting a period of unprecedented growth and success. San Antonio has been voted the PRCA's Large Indoor Rodeo Committee of the Year every year since 2005.
Man, Keith really has some rodeo cred.
Oof.
Jeez, that's awesome.
Hi, and welcome to NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year. I'm Maria Precogies, and I'm so excited to have one of my friends and a man with many titles in the rodeo industry, Mr. Keith Martin. You have a lot of titles, from
San Antonio
to chairman of the board at the PRCA, and now you're about to take on a new role. Talk to me, first off, why rodeo in your career?
Well, I started out, I'm a banker, actually, and my boss said, you know, you need to get involved in the community, and my choice was the San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo. I had showed there as a young person. I was 9 years old, and I said, I think I ought to try to give back. And so that's how I got involved in rodeo, and that led from one thing to another. And then I think I raised my hand at the wrong time and went to the PRCA and agreed to help those guys. And I've just enjoyed it. I met a lot of people I'd never have met before and never would meet if I hadn't been involved. It's been a wonderful ride. I've enjoyed it.
Let's talk a little bit first about the San Antonio Rodeo. Tons of times you've won large indoor rodeo of the year.
Yeah.
I've been there a bunch. It's enormous. What does it take, and especially you at the helm, what does it take to put on a rodeo that size?
It takes a lot of volunteers. We have over 6,000 volunteers and a lot of teamwork, a lot of working together. And I guess having been a volunteer there for 25 years and then CEO for another 25, total of 50, it takes an awful lot of teamwork. But when you're doing that kind of work with volunteers, you cannot forget one thing, and that is you have to have fun. You have to enjoy it. You have to let those folks enjoy it. And I think that's what makes it work. And then you have to have a great cause, and our cause is educating the youth of Texas. I think it's just fun. We have all kinds of people involved in it from all walks of life. I just really, really had a great experience with it, yeah.
I hate to use the term legacy because you're going to be around a long time. But what are you leaving behind? You've accomplished a ton in the San Antonio Rodeo. We'll get into the PRCA in a moment. But what's the legacy that you want to leave behind?
I guess I would hope that it would be understanding the education of the youth of this country, whether it's an agriculture or rodeo or whatever it is. I think that it's real important, and I guess if I left a legacy, I'd hope people would remember me for that.
And now you're going on to the foundation side, something kind of new with San Antonio. Talk to me about that.
Well, it is brand new. And they said, Keith, we don't really want you to retire. And I told them 2 years ago that I would, and I was going to do that. And we would work hard on getting my replacement. But they came back to me and said, you know what, we really need you to help us get this foundation started. And I said, you're conning me, aren't you? And I'm thinking they were probably right. And of course, my wife, Tracy, I think, was egging them on because she did not want me around the house.
And, I know she loves you, but maybe not home quite that often.
Well, and actually, I'll be honest, I really am going to enjoy it because it's a new challenge. And I don't think, I'm getting old and I'm big on succession and transition and so forth. But I think this is something that I really will enjoy because now I'm going to be raising money in a different way. Instead of putting on a show, we're going to be out with our hands out, and asking money. And I've never had a problem backing up to anybody and asking them for money for the kids.
That's wonderful. So let's move on to the PRCA because, being CEO and the chief executive officer and executive director of San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo, like that wasn't enough for you.
Yeah.
You were the chairman of the board of the PRCA.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work, a lot of flights in, during some hard times. What was that like?
Well, there's so many good people involved in the PRCA, and San Antonio, PRCA was having some really rough times. And San Antonio said, Keith, why don't you go help? It's going to help all of us if we can keep PRCA going. And I said, I'll do my best. Well, I went up there and I became the treasurer and helped everybody understand the budgeting process and so forth, because you know, it's a business, and it's a pretty big business when you get right down to it. So I just said, you know, I'll help you all I can. And so between San Antonio and Colorado Springs, I did a lot of flying, got a lot of nice points, but that was it. That was all I got. But I did get to meet a lot of fun people. You're one of them. A lot of folks that I just really enjoy a whole lot. And once I got into it, I kept getting into more. And I realized it was another challenge. We had to get more money for the contestants. We had to move rodeo on, and so that we could all be successful. And I just got to where I was really enjoying it. But at that, I think you still need transition. And I think, you know, and I became ready for that too. I'm going to be around. And I told them, I said, I'll be happy to help you anytime I can. But I do think it's time to let somebody else take a shot at it. Yeah.
Well, myself and many others are glad that you got into this wonderful business we call rodeo.
Well, it's a fun business, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Well, yeah. And it was so much fun to have you here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank everybody.
I'd say Keith Martin, the man with a lot of different rodeo titles who's been instrumental in this industry, right here on NFR Extra, where it's all dirt, all rodeo, all year. I'm Maria Prekicis on behalf of all the entire crew. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you to Boyd Pohemus, Maria Prekicis, and Miss Susan Canode for joining us on the NFR Extra podcast today, and many, many thanks, many, many thanks to Maria's guest, Mr. Bob Tolman, the Trevor Brazil, and Mr. Keith Martin.
We look forward to our next episode with Maria talking to steer wrestlers Tyler Wagspack, Kyler Irwin, Tyler Pearson, and Ty Erickson share how one horse can make a difference, plus Bo and I sitting down with Dale Brisby. Dale, yeah, and more on the NFR Extra podcast.
Gotta make it out to Vegas, where the big boys roam, with the Rovers and the Racers and the Bulls and the Browns, and the ladies in the skin-tight Wranglers and the cowboy